All right. As previously stated, we are so excited to have Sister Chavez, who's going to be sharing something special on her heart with us this morning. We first want to say that we love and appreciate Brother and Sister Chavez. They feel like family to us, church. I'm sure everyone agrees. And Sister Chavez blessed us tremendously the last time that she shared her personal testimony with us. So we are excited to see what she has to offer us this morning. Sister Chavez, I'm turning it over to you now.
Good morning, everyone. It's always awkward. I feel like I'm just speaking to walls because I'm looking at walls. But the last devotion, I'm glad to hear that. Brother Vic, stay on there so I can hear your voice.
I will. You're doing fine. You sound good.
So last time I talked about faithfulness and developing a faithful life. And there was a slice of a moment in my life that I barely shared. And so this is going to be that part two, because I was told there was the part two that people wanted to hear. And so I'll just continue from there, but I will back up to when I was 12 years old. So first I'm going to read a scripture from Proverbs 20:6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? In verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And I want you to keep that in mind. His children are blessed after him. As a young 12-year-old, before I got the Holy Ghost, before I got baptized, before I made it to church that night, which was a revival service, I was in the middle of a haircut. And back then I had I still have three older siblings, but they were teenagers and they didn't know anything about God. My sister and I were barely learning about God. We were going to Sunday school. My sisters, we would have this tradition where everyone would get pigtails on their hair. We'd split our hair down the middle, and we would put it in pigtails to the length where we were going to cut our hair. And I forgot that I made a commitment to go to a revival that I didn't even know what revival was. And I forgot that I made this commitment. So this evening, you know, it's after, I think it was after school, something like that. My hair was ready to get cut. So my sister had cut half of one of my pigtails to the length where it was going to be. And all of a sudden, there's a knocking at my door. Sister Teresa Wadislawski knocking. She's honking. She's so energetic. She's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's time for revival. And so I realized, oh, I told her I'm going to go. So I tell her, hold on. I roll up my hair. Tell my sisters, I'm going to finish my haircut when I get home. Okay. So I get to church. I sit with Sister Wadislawski. I think this is like the third or second row. We're sitting in the front. The power of God, you know, does what it does. It comes down. I get the Holy Ghost. And I get the Holy Ghost so strong. Okay. God convicted me when I got home not to finish this haircut. I hadn't heard anything about the power that we hold in our hair when it is uncut. I didn't know anything about that. And in my stubbornness, in my little 12-year-old mind, I thought, wow, you know, this overwhelming great thing that just happened to me, I'm not going to finish my haircut. And so I didn't finish my haircut. I go on with life. I get baptized in Jesus' name. And unknowing, as a young 12-year-old, I began to lock in a power that I didn't know I would need in the future. And with that, you heard the story about being faithful, struggling with faithfulness at home. My mom began to come to church. She began to fall in love with the things of God. But she had this unfaithfulness to her My dad was always working. You know, it was not a godly home. So godliness was not in our home. So me just struggling with these two worlds, learning how to live for God on my own, not realizing I had locked in a power within me because of a commitment I made at 12 years old because I got the Holy Ghost. And it was something that God just struck in me, do not finish your haircut. So if you can imagine, I had half of my hair cut and half of it. So I had very uneven hair. And at that time, it can be detrimental to a young person because of identity. You know, you want to look a certain way. Your hair is all messed up. My hair was all messed up. It was curly. So, you know, for me, I just wanted to be like a Pentecostal. So I just would just put my hair in a bun. And so I would try to just hide the way my hair was for a long time. And I never focused on it. I never zeroed in on it. It really didn't affect me the way my hair was. And it was almost as if God blinded me to the idea of identity being in my hair. And years go by, I'm growing in God. I get a prayer life. I learn how to tap into the presence of God. I learn how to intercede, and I learn how to just fall in love with God. And then I hear preachings, and then I hear teachings about our hair, about the power that is in our hair as women, and the obedience that it brings into our lives, the faithfulness, the what it does to us. But I still, as a young mind, I don't understand it. I still don't understand it all. And I grow up, I get married, I begin to have children. And my son, I have a son in 2008. Jacob was in 2016, Adam is 2010, Drew was in 2008. And he was born with a syphilhematoma. What that is, if there's nurses out there, it is a cone head, and it is very, very, it's not a pretty sight. And if you've seen Drew, you've seen him. He's just a funny kid. You would never realize. And it was a scary moment. My husband was in the military. He came. He was there for the birth. And then he had to leave 2 days later, and I'm stuck with this brand new baby and a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and this baby he's got a deformed head, and I remember I would get the baby oil and I would rub his head, and I would pray for him, and I'm a young mother, and I'm just praying for him. And you know, when you're a young mom, you're very vulnerable. Fear can come upon you so easily. You know, when the doctors say, well, you know, if it's going to drain into his head, he's going to be mentally retarded. You know, you hear all the negative things that the doctor tells you. It's going to callus. He'll probably have to have cosmetic surgery if you want it removed. And it was huge. I have pictures of it. It was so bad. And I remember a sister in church told me, she said, sis, you have power. You need to pray for him. And she's the one who told me to put baby oil on his head. She said, just pray for him and rub his head with the baby oil. So every night I would do this. And I didn't realize the power that I had, that God gave me. So I would just pray, and they were simple prayers. I was too busy to even travail over him because I had these two babies, and my husband's gone, and I'm operating like a single mother. And so, you know, I'm working a full-time job from 5 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. I'm a music director at the church. I'm making it to church, keeping things in line with all my musicians, and I'm just, you know, I'm operating like a single mother. So the last thing, you know, I really have time for is to actually get down and plead to God for my child. And so I'm just doing these simple prayers, and I'm just in the back of my mind, I'm just hoping, you know, God just does something, and not realizing, you know, the little faith that I had for my own situation. You know, we have such great faith for others, but sometimes we forget to realize that the power that we have within ourselves for our own. So, you know, just life is moving on. You know, a few months go by. You know, I would say about 2 months, my son has his big old cone head, and it's hideous. It is hideous. And I remember sitting at a dining table, and this sister who told me to pray for him, she comes over, and she's like, "Sister, just keep praying for him. Just keep praying for him." I'm like, "Yeah, I need to keep praying for him." And so I remember that night specifically because she, like, really encouraged me, just keep praying for him. Anoint his head with oil. You have power to anoint his head with oil. And so this is a week, okay? This is in a week span. I think this was after a service. She was at my house sitting with me. And a few services later, I'm at church, and I don't notice, but she notices. She's like, "Sis, his head it's going down." And I did not realize it. I'm like, "It is." She's like, "It is." And several days later, we have another service. And I did not notice this, but my son, God had healed my son within a week span. Complete. His head was a normal infant child's head. And I did not realize it. I did not see the miracle right under me, and I'm dealing with him every single day, and I'm shuffling all this life that's going on around me every day. And she's like, "Sister, look at your son." And I'm like, looking at him, she's like, "God has healed him." And she was like, she seemed to be like my cheerleader. Like, she had encouraged me to pray for him. She notices it. And I'm like, "Wow, yeah, God, I think God is healing him, did heal him." I didn't know what to think. I'm young. I'm like, I have this whole world spinning around me. I go to the doctor. You know, he has these appointments. He had other little issues. He had jaundice, so I was always at the doctor's with him. And they're checking out his head. They do these, I don't know if it was an MRI. I do not remember. It was so long ago. And he said, "Well, looks like he's going to be okay." And just simple, like, it wasn't even a big deal to the doctor. It wasn't a big deal. I don't know. I think it's just such a phased out event. And I realized God had healed him. So years later, in 2010, that was 2008. In 2010, my son Adam, and I don't know if I've told this story, but he was 3 years old. This is my middle child. So I went from my youngest child to my middle child. He had strep throat, and he was sick. You know, strep throat is a common illness that people get. Everyone gets it. He had strep throat. He had gotten over it. It was time for his yearly, or I think it was every year or something like that, or every 6 months. He had to get shots. And I took him to get his shots. They did his fever, check his temperature, nothing, no fever, nothing. Told the doctor, "Oh, he recently had strep throat, yada, yada, yada." They said, "Oh, he's fine, he's fine, he's fine, he's over it." They give him his shots. We go home, everything's fine. The next morning, we wake up in the morning, my husband's at work, and Adam is 3 years old. And he wouldn't get up out of his bed. I'm like, "Adam." And his bed was low enough where he can come out of it himself at 3 years old. He wouldn't come out. He says, "I can't. I can't." I try to go help him out, and he couldn't walk. I forget which leg it was. This was in 2010. His leg was swelling up. and I didn't know what was going on. He couldn't move it. He couldn't walk. And called my husband. It's a long story, so I'll just get to it. We end up in the hospital at the doctor's office. The doctor says he needs to go to the ER right now. Take him to the ER. They do tests. They draw blood. They're checking him. I don't know if it was MRI. They did all kinds of stuff. They find out he was septic. Something happened between the shots and his illness. Something had intersected in his body, and his body didn't like it. His body was going septic. There was an old they were not going to have time to fly him over to the Valley Children's Hospital, which was the most ideal thing to do for a child like him at his age. He was going to have emergency surgery. They were going to have to drain his blood and give him a blood transfusion, see if that would save him. If anyone ever knows of anyone who's ever gone septic, normally they don't make it. It's a very rare case that people make it. Once it gets into your bloodstream, it's fatal. Adam was very septic. And I remember being in the hospital in San Luis Obispo. The surgeon had never worked on a child. He was very nervous. And I believe that he was a Christian because of just how he behaved, his behavior. I think he was a Christian. My pastor came. He prayed for our son. My husband prayed for our son. I prayed for my son. I didn't understand what septic meant at that time. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know what it meant. But I knew something was happening that was not good to my son. But deep down inside, I thought, no, God, you are not going to take my son. No. And I remember in the event, if you can just imagine like this whirlwind of little events occurring in one day, you know, just all kinds of things like, oh, your son needs emergency surgery, the overwhelming feeling, you know, from a mother. I don't know how a husband would feel, but I know my husband was panicked. I can see it in his face. He didn't even tell me what septic meant. And he knew I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't have time to Google what it meant. The doctor was very kind to me, very gentle with me. And he was just like, it was very urgent. And I remember the pediatrician, my son's pediatrician, had stopped her day. She was in the hospital with us. And she's also a Christian. She was just comforting me. And I knew something, it was big, a big deal. Because for our pediatrician to be there and continuously checking up on Adam, and for the surgeon to just be pacing, and he was very nervous. They were calling doctors all over the state. They were calling doctors in Stanford. He was talking to a doctor in at the Valley Children's Hospital. He was going to have somebody help him, I guess, do the surgery through the phone, or I'm not sure how it was going to happen. Technology wasn't as advanced as it is now. But I don't know what their plan was. But God had a different plan. And I remember as all the doctors stepped out, I just remember some men stepping out, my husband stepping out. They're in the hallway. I could see them through a little window. My son was in the pre-operating room. The nurse had already prepped him. He was ready to go into surgery. And I don't know if it was I believe this was a moment ordained by God. Everyone walked out of the room. All I hear is silence. Everyone there? I hope I didn't get cut off because I'm just talking.
You are fine, Sister Chavez. You're doing great.
Okay.
I'm getting several text messages right now. People saying this is amazing. This is great.
Okay. So everyone walks out, and this is a moment that God, if you've ever experienced a moment where God opens a window in your life, and it's only for a moment, and if you don't act on that moment, that window just shuts. Sometimes we don't know that moment happened for us. But this moment, God opened a window. And he reminded me that I had power. I did not realize what I was doing. I'm a young mother. I took my hair out of my bun. And I'm telling you, for years, because my hair is curly, my hair never really grew much, was so uneven, and I never wanted to acknowledge that my hair was ugly. I was always very self-conscious about my hair. But this moment, I took my hair out. I put my hair on my son. And it was a moment that I realized that I had power in my hair. I put my hair on my son. And I said, God, I just said a simple prayer. I said, God, I have been faithful. I have been faithful. The moment you convicted me when I got the Holy Ghost to not finish that haircut, way back then, I was reminding God. I said, God, I'm reminding you. I have not nipped at my hair. I have not bitten at my hair the way my friends would bite at their hair and nibble their hair off. I did not purposely try to burn my hair with a curling iron when friends were doing that as a teenager. I reminded God that I was faithful to him through my hair. I had placed my hair on my son, and I said, God, I looked up at him. I said, God, you owe me. I have been faithful to you. You need to be faithful to me. And at that moment, I realized that I had so much power within my hair. And moments later, when the doctors came in, okay, this window is now shut. Okay, just imagine this window opens, that little breeze comes in, it's shut. The doctors come in, everything's, you know, happening, you know, they're about to take my son out. The surgeon, okay, he's in there, he's been comforting my husband and I. He says, it's almost as if God just spoke to him. I don't know what it was, what happened. I know it was God. But he said, give me another moment. I'm going to walk out real quick. And we see my husband and I are inside the room. And he walks out. And you see him get on a phone. He paces the hallway. He comes back in, and this is just in a few minutes, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, he walks back in. He says, I want to try something. He's like, can I give your son some Benadryl? I just feel like it'll just calm him down. Let's just give him some Benadryl. My son was already a calm child. He's always been a mellow child. This is the middle one, Adam. And we're like, sure. He gives him Benadryl. He's like, let's just wait a few minutes, 5, 10 minutes, go by. And through this process, he had been measuring my son's leg, the septic. If you've ever seen it, your body begins to bubble like a balloon, where if you even try to touch it, like it was scary to even touch my son. I wouldn't touch my son because it looked as if you touched him, he would pop like a balloon. And it was in his thigh. It was getting into his hip. And moments after the doctor had given him Benadryl, he's like, let's just wait a few minutes. Let's just see what's happening. I honestly feel that this doctor was praying. And to make a long story short, we walked out of that hospital that night. God began in front of our eyes, in front of this doctor's eyes. God began to heal my son from septic. My son was septic. You can see it in the x-rays. And it was cloudy. If you've ever seen it, it's cloudy, it's white, it's pussy, and it just bubbled. A person starts bubbling up like a balloon. And God started visually in front of us, started shrinking up my son. And the doctor started measuring him. He kept measuring him. And he kept prolonging the surgery. He's like, let's just keep waiting. He kept measuring him. It was going down. It was going down. It was going down. And I'm telling you, the reason why I talked about the hair, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I didn't know that I had power on my head, as powerful as I did, and because of my uncut hair. And I know there's men on here as well, but men, you're responsible for your daughters. And sometimes they may not understand the power that they have. And nobody forbade me to cut my hair. Nobody forbade me to cut, no one said, you can't cut your hair. I did hear it in preachings. I did hear it. But it never sunk in until the moment that I realized that I had power in my hair because I did not cut it. And I just want to encourage you today that we have power in our obedience to God. If God puts a conviction on us, if we hear it by the word of God, through the preaching of the word of God, sometimes you may be obedient to something you may not understand, but you don't realize that you are locking in a power within you with God. It's like you're locking in like an agreement with God of faithfulness. I'm going to be faithful, even though I don't understand this. I'm going to be faithful. And the younger we are, the more power we can have for the future. And I tell young people, be faithful to God, because you don't know when you're going to need God. And this moment in my life, I realized the power that I had locked in with God. I didn't know I was going to need him years later as a mother for my children. And I was able to stand in the gap between fate and the power that I had within me. And God honored that power. And I didn't travail. I didn't speak in tongues. I just said, God, I've been faithful to you. You owe me. And that, I know that sounds kind of funny, but when we have power with God, we have a confidence. And we can say, we can go boldly before his throne, and we can make our petitions to him, and God will answer if it's his perfect will, if it falls within his perfect will, and if it's going to be a testimony, and if it's going to bring glory to him, God is going to answer our call because we have been faithful. And I just want to emphasize the power of faithfulness. No matter what age, you can make a commitment to God and say, I'm going to be faithful. Even though I don't understand this, Brother Clark might have just preached the message, and there may have been things that the Spirit was talking to me about, and I may not understand it, but if you can just understand this one thing, the power of faithfulness. And if you make that commitment, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to answer that call that God requested of me through the man of God or through the Spirit and become faithful. And I promise you, you're going to need God. You're going to need him. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be in the next 10 years, but you're going to need him. And you're going to, in the moment that you need him, you're going to remember that moment that you made that commitment to God of faithfulness. And you're going to be able to tell God, God, remember that moment. I have been faithful from that moment. And that's it. I'm done.
And it was absolutely tremendous, Sister Chavez. I cannot tell you how many text messages that we have received. And I need you to hold on. Everyone, hold on for a second. I just got a few message requests. I'm going to go ahead and put on our pastor, who just sent me a message, and I'm looking for his number right now. While I'm doing that, I'm going to go ahead and put on Sister Clark, who also wants to say something. So please hold on while I open up Sister Clark's line. Sister Clark, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
You're coming in loud and clear. Go right ahead, Sister Clark.
Okay. Good morning, Sister Chavez.
Good morning.
Are you there?
Yes,
I just want to be able to say hello to her and talk to her. We
love you so much.
The Chavezes have a very, very special place in our hearts, Brother and Sister Chavez, and their three boys. And I have the utmost of respect for Sister Chavez. She is a
she's so real. She's so down to earth. She pours herself into people. If she sees any way that she can help people, help them grow, help them learn, she is ready. She jumps on it. She's like, she's an amazing woman. Sister Chavez, you are a true servant of God, and I appreciate you so much. I admire you so much. And this was so good this morning, so good. And we appreciate
you
taking your time. I know you're very busy, but we love you. You just know that the Clarks and Truth Church love you. Thank you for speaking
to us.
Thank
you. I love you. I love you too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you, Sister Clark. And I believe we have Pastor Clark on the line. Pastor Clark.
Yes, can you hear me?
We hear you loud and clear, sir.
Sister Nellie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Church, that's an inside joke between Sister Chavez and my wife and I. But I just want to say, Sister Chavez, I'm sitting outside on our parking lot checking out these tents that we've put up for service tomorrow. And I heard a jet just take off, so as soon as he kind of passes, I'll be able to speak and say a few things. I want to say, Sister Chavez, I was very, very touched by your testimony today. I know that this has been a great, great blessing to many of our people. Thank you for sharing with us what has taken place and tying it in with being obedient to the word of God about our lady's long hair. It was a tremendous Bible study about our women's long hair and a tremendous testimony about what God has done for your son. God bless you guys. We love you and can't wait till we see you again. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Clark. And once again, thank you, Sister Chavez and Church. We hope that everyone felt the powerful anointing upon Sister Chavez, upon her voice, upon her words. She said something at the beginning and at the end, faithfulness, and falling in love with God. What a genuine spirit and a genuine voice full of the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. And Church, if we want that, we need faithfulness, and we need to fall in love with God. Praise God. A comment she made was, we have power with God, we have confidence. When we have power with God, we have confidence. And you know what? I wish I could read all the text messages, but there's too many. Sister Janice Underwood sent a message so great. I had tears, anointed, strong message. Sister Cindy and Alina, I can't read all their messages because they sent too many, but the powerful Preach It sister. And Sister Chavez mentioned the men. The men have power as well. Brother Art Doramas said, Brother Vic, we need to get this on the archive ASAP. This needs to be shared by everyone who didn't hear it live. It's the power of God, the healing power of God. It goes on and on and on. Sister Chavez, thank you. Thank you for the great message of encouragement this morning. And with that, Sister Church, we want to remind everyone about our special youth devotion that's going to be taking place tonight at 7:15 p.m. There's a bake-off taking place today. And there will be some comments made about that on tonight's youth devotion. So we look forward to seeing everyone there tonight. God bless you all. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.